WGNS, Murfreesboro.
This is FM 100.5, 101.9, AM 1450, and WGNSradio.com. Rutherford County's place to talk. Stand by, Rutherford County. The WGNS Action Line continues a search for truth.
Hey, good morning to you. Welcome into the Action Line from WGNS. It's a cool morning, and we're going to be talking about lawns and gardens and things you need to be working on right now, things you need to be thinking about. We have two master gardeners with us this morning, and we'll be taking your phone calls on any questions that you might have. Carol Reese and Jennifer Salter are both with us this morning. First of all, good morning to both of you.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Great to have you with us on this nippy morning.
It is sunny. A pleasure.
Yeah. It is sunny. That's nice.
It is sunny. And that makes a world of difference.
It does.
Tell us about Christmas tree. Everybody, some of the folks have living Christmas trees, and that's something that we need to be thinking about. If you have a living Christmas tree, one that is going, not one that's going to be planted, but it was a living Christmas tree at one time, when do you know the right time to take it out?
A living Christmas tree, if you have one now, shouldn't be in the house.
Oh, really?
No, with the root ball. With the root ball.
Okay.
On it. Okay. Yeah. 5 days. Five days in the house. For the root ball one.
Okay.
Yeah. Now for the cut one, you cut off of the bottom again and get to fresh woody material that's still got some circulation in it and put it in water, and you can bring that one in the house. When you get an excess loss of needles, I think I would look at taking it out.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So should you cut it more than once? Should you cut it and then stick it in the house, let it be in
the house? I would cut it before I put it in the house. Before. Like, even if I got it cut at the nursery or the
wherever
I got it, I would cut it again. Those tissues seal up pretty quick. That's how a tree defends itself from predators.
And it could be days before you buy that tree. So it's sealed up. It's not going to absorb any moisture.
What about, I've heard people saying, put 7-Up with them. Have you heard that?
I have heard that. It's got some of the same ingredients that the commercially prepared things you put in there. It's got some antibacterial activity. It's got some sugars in it. By all means, it won't hurt to put any 7-Up in that water.
So I just
have I done a serious scientific study as to whether that's an appropriate way to go? No, I have not. I'll get two trees next year, and I'll put 7-Up in one and no 7-Up in the other one.
I think the key is just to keep the moisture there, just to keep that pan full of water.
Always check your water to be sure that there is water in there.
Yes. Yeah, don't let it dry out, because if it dries out, I would suggest you take that tree down and cut it again, which is probably going to be impossible because it's all decorated. So
right.
And the drier the air is in your house, the more moisture is coming through that tree.
We don't stop and think about that too much. I mean, how dry the...
So is the inside of your nose. The drier the air is in your house, the drier you are. So you might want to add a little extra moisture to the air in your house.
Well, that's true. There are units that add moisture, add humidity to your home, because if you are making it too low in humidity, it'll mess you up. Yeah.
Yes, sir.
A lot of people don't realize that. They think, man, if we didn't have such high humidity around here, we would get rid of allergies. We talked about that with a doctor the other day. He said, no, that's not true. You still have allergies. You have other problems, though.
Yes.
So if you're out west somewhere, some of these states that have very low humidity, Arizona, New Mexico, those places, you got other problems.
Yes, sir.
Yes, be thankful.
I am. I really am. Yes.
We're talking about things that you need to be doing. What about some of these plants? Are they different, like poinsettias, Christmas cactus? Are they pretty much like all other plants? Do we treat them the same if we have a Christmas cactus?
Well, they don't like cold. But yes, well, we do the treat them place. The same. And poinsettia is not poisonous.
Okay.
Let me throw that out there. There, if like all plants, if you bruise the poinsettia and it leaks that little latex coming out of the leaves, mm-hmm. it can be a skin irritant. But you'd have to eat an awful lot of poinsettia. Now, I know people are worried about it. If you're worried about it and you don't want to expose your children, your cats, your dogs to it, don't bring the poinsettia into the house. But you don't need to be overly concerned. It's not poisonous.
And they won't grow huge outside in this climate.
Not in this climate.
But they become trees where they're from.
And wouldn't that be great to look at?
We had one in my backyard. My mother had one, a beautiful red one. And it was a tree.
This was down in the Mediterranean.
Down in the Caribbean.
Caribbean,
yeah. It was beautiful.
I've heard that. Yeah. I've heard that they're huge. Mm-hmm. Do they have the leaves and everything that we have now?
Yes, yeah, they'll start to turn red, and it's gorgeous.
Wow. Yeah. And they're tree size.
Tree size, yes, a small tree.
That's interesting. So these are new areas that if you want to go see one, this is the time of the year to do it, because it's a lot warmer down in the Caribbean.
Yeah. If you have them inside, keep them out of the drafts as well. Don't put them near to the vent of your furnace vent.
Okay. Oh, that brings around another subject. The two of you are with the program that is Master Gardeners, and they're about to start their class.
Yes, sir.
Yes.
So is it full yet?
To my knowledge, it's not completely full. It's getting full. You'd want to contact the Ag's office out at John Rice Boulevard, Master Gardeners. That'll be 615-898-7710. But to my knowledge, there's still spaces. I'm not for sure.
Okay.
But when I checked last night, yes, there was.
Yeah. Don't wait around.
No. Yeah. No. And we also have the Garden Basics class, which is a lower level of and no volunteer hours associated with it. You know, the Master Gardeners do a lot of volunteer hours.
But
as
you're
a
here
matter
today.
Of fact, yes. The Master Gardeners of Rutherford County contributed 7,384 hours of volunteer service up
as
to
November.
As
and
November this as of November the 17th
wow.
to the people of Rutherford County. And we're very proud of that. Excuse me for patting myself on the back.
And we're still volunteering. We're still here. So that doesn't take anything we do in December.
Now, have both of you been interested in gardening all your life?
Since I was an egg.
Mm-hmm. An egg? Okay.
Yes, sir.
Not egg, but
no.
Egg. Okay.
Yes, sir. I have. I don't know about Miss Jennifer, but I have, yes.
Yeah, my mother had a green thumb, and she was a great gardener, and I really didn't get into it until basically after my kids left home.
Mm-hmm. So
you get pretty busy when they're around. And
when do you decide, do I want to take the Master Gardener class or do I want to take the Garden Basics? What is the difference there?
The biggest difference to me is the volunteerism. Master Gardener, somebody once described us as the extra hands and feet for the Extension office. And it's part of the volunteering and getting the word out, helping to educate people. You take the classes, and the classes are intensive. You learn an awful lot, but where you become a master gardener is when you go out there and you volunteer at things. And we have, I think we have over 17 projects that we work on. We have the demonstration gardens. We volunteer in different fields. We have education, we have outreach, we have demonstration. So at the Extension Center, we have gardens up there that we upkeep, and so you can go out and see the butterfly garden, the herb garden, the vegetable garden, perennial bed. We're working on a rain garden next year to bring that back. We have education with our information tables, so you'll see us on the square here on a Saturday or at the county farmers market on a Tuesday, Friday.
Now, do you ever stop learning? Is this an ongoing class?
You never stop learning. You really don't. We have to do continuing education every year. It's not a lot, but it's
when something new is discovered or when some new issue comes into Tennessee, you learn about it.
We learn about it, or we try to.
That's one of the biggest attractions to the program is the fact that we're always trading ideas. We all love new knowledge or old knowledge that we forgot about, but we all love new knowledge.
Now, as far as gardening and lawn work goes, what is the next opportunity that we would have to do something outside?
You can plant right now if you can. You can dig a hole.
Okay. Yep, as long as the ground is not frozen, you can still.
So you could plant a bush, shrub, tree, something.
And the best time to plant woody materials is in your cold months because they continue to develop a root system.
Okay, so this is a great time to do something.
If you can dig a hole, now you know. Be careful when you dig a hole. Look it up on the extension website because there's right now. If you were to dig a hole in a heavy clay soil, you would want to score the sides so the roots have a place to go. Mm-hmm. You wouldn't want a slick surface because it's hard for a root to get through a mirrored surface, a slick surface. But, yeah.
So plant a bush, a shrub, whatever you want to plant, you could do it now.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Now, which ones would you plant? Do you have a list of ones that are suitable for this area?
Yes, I mean, do. It's about this.
She's showing me a huge list.
It depends on what you want. Right. Is the ground wet? Is the ground dry? Is the ground in full sun? Is it in part sun? Is it heavy clay? Do you want?
Is there any that's not heavy clay?
A river bottom. it just depends on full sun, not full sun. It just depends on what you want. The person planting it, what do they want?
Mm-hmm. But the main thing is, with so many people moving in from other areas, you need to plant something that will grow well here.
Yes, and that would be your native plant.
As opposed to tropical plants?
Yeah, we have some problems with tropical plants in case anybody has never come in contact with the tree of heaven or a pampas grass or a bamboo that's growing out of control. I prefer natives. That's my preference.
Now, you mentioned bamboo growing out of control. So bamboo grows very well, but it takes
there
over.
Are limited bamboos. Mm-hmm. You can plant a beautiful bamboo plant that won't get that big, that won't crowd out everything in the world, that won't make a forever enemy of your neighbor. and they're small. They're small. Mm-hmm. They don't do what the giant bamboo does. If you plant giant bamboo, please bring in a panda to control it.
So it will actually spread into neighbors' yards?
Oh, yes.
And if left unattended, it'll
the
just
bad bamboo.
Going.
Now, not all bamboo.
Yeah. Do your research.
Yeah.
Before you, if you want the bamboo, do your research. Make sure
where do
you're
you
getting
get
the right
it
one.
So you don't accidentally get the wrong one?
I'm not sure.
There's a nursery, I'm pretty sure, in south of Nashville. Mm-hmm. I think in Arrington or Arlington, whatever the name of that town is.
Yeah.
Arrington.
Okay.
Yeah.
Very good. So good time of the year to do planting of that sort.
Woody planting.
Do you have to worry about watering those trees and bushes?
You always have to worry.
Always.
If you go for a week or two without water, they're going to be thirsty.
Okay. Now, one thing that we will be doing also for anyone who has a living Christmas tree to plant, and that's always exciting.
Yes.
To plant that and have a memory of that. I remember that tree was 2019. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you can have a whole string of them out in the yard. What do you need to do to be sure that they survive?
First, pick a species of tree that's going to thrive in this area. Mm-hmm. Going to thrive with the amount of water we get, the amount of sunshine we get, the kind of soil that's in that spot. You don't want to amend the soil just around the tree. You want to amend, it's either got to be just the regular soil or you got to amend a great big old spot and make sure it's a species of tree that thrives here.
And dig your hole before the ground freezes over.
Yeah, us lazy people to dig it early.
Yeah, because the ground's not frozen and you can dig a nice hole the proper size.
And we are moving into a time of the year when the ground does freeze.
Yes, so be prepared before you bring it, as soon as you get it home or even before you get it home, if you know what size mm-hmm. you want.
Now, should you put that tree with the root ball and everything, should you sit it in the garage for what you said, don't bring it in the house. You only want it in the house for 5 days?
5 days.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I think you need to leave it outside, not the garage. It won't get any light in the garage.
Okay.
One of the suggestions I saw was to go ahead and decorate your tree, put your lights on it. Use outdoor lights, and you can put it in your yard and light it up, and then just bring it in. It's already done.
That's a tradition. A new tradition.
It's even better if you have a forklift, you can drive into the living room.
Because those things are heavy.
Yeah.
I mean, they are. We used to try that, and we would have it in a big watering container. You talk about heavy.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
I'm glad we were younger back then.
Yes, sir. Those days are gone for me. Those days are gone.
Yeah. If you're new to the area and you want to learn about gardening in the area and you don't want to become a master gardener, we do offer a shorter class. It's called Garden Basics.
Tell us about what does that offer?
That starts in, the deadline is February 7th, so you have lots of time. Garden Basics, the classes begin March the 5th, and it's every, I think it's a Tuesday. Is it a Thursday? Tuesday or Thursday, I'm not sure. March the 5th.
Okay.
And it's once a week. It's from 6 till 9, and we'll be offering courses taught by master gardeners, and some of the classes will be soil testing, you know, site assessment, vegetable gardening, basics, dealing with pests and diseases of vegetable gardens, selecting landscape plants. That's an important one. Pesticide usage, correct pesticide usage. So for the home gardener, that's a great class. It is, I think, $50 for the first, and it's going to be 30 applicants.
Okay.
So if you'd like to take the class, get that application in there.
The big difference between Garden Basics and Master Gardeners is the volunteer hours.
The volunteer, the continuing education. And once you take those classes, you are finished.
Okay.
Unless the next year you want to take the Master Gardener class and join us. And we have a lot of members who have done that.
It sounds like a logical direction to go.
Yeah, if gardening is your passion and educating people is part of that passion too, so...
We're talking about lawns and gardens this morning, and if you have a question dealing with your lawn or your garden, give us a call, 615-893-1450, 615-893-1450. You can talk or text, whichever you prefer. And for giving someone a plant for Christmas, I know a lot of people think about Christmas cactus and poinsettias and things of that sort. Are there any plants, not necessarily Christmas plants, but plants that would be enjoyed for a longer period of time by people?
You can give Christmas cactuses, Easter cactuses. There's a cactus for every event during the year. But you can take those and put them outside. They'll thrive in the shade all summer long. You don't have to deal with them, and then bring them back in the fall. They just won't tolerate the cold.
Okay.
The freezing. You can do the same thing with the poinsettia. You can put your poinsettia out in the yard or leave it in the pot, put it in the shade outside, and it will also thrive as long as it gets enough water.
So it needs to be in the shade, the poinsettia?
Yes, it will not like it if you put it in the boiling sun.
Okay. And what will it? Will it turn green outside?
Or yes, yeah. It will stay green.
It will stay green.
Okay, so it just looks like another plant.
Actually, the red part on your poinsettia is the top leaf bracts. That's not a flower. The little yellow dot in there in the middle is the flower. And they achieve that redness by putting it in a period of dark every day. So they pull a cover over it, then they take the cover off in the greenhouses.
Mm-hmm.
If you've ever gone to a poinsettia greenhouse and you see there's, well, I don't want to say hundreds, but there's a lot of different colors. There's pink and there's white and there's green and there's
variegated
marble
and,
looking
yeah.
and variegated. The choices of poinsettias is magnificent. We are so lucky.
Oh, very definitely. Tell you what let's do. Let's pause for just a moment. We will be back and continue the conversation. We're talking this morning with Carol Reese and Jennifer Salter, both master gardeners. And if you have questions dealing with your lawn or garden, you can text us or you can talk to us. All at 615-893-1450. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Glorious now, behold him arise, King and God and sacrifice.
Star of night, star with royal money issues? There's someone local you can talk to. Financial Coaching Radio with certified financial planner Jason Qualls. Weekdays at 4 on News Radio WGNS.
Hi, this is Amanda from Animal City. If your fish tank is looking a little dated, now is the perfect time to freshen it up before hosting holiday events. Here at Animal City, brighten up your living space with an aquarium or new background for your reptiles. Animal City would love to help you with your pet needs. And for the pet lover on your list, an Animal City gift card makes the perfect gift. This is Amanda from Animal City. Come do business with Animal City at 919 Northwest Broad Street in Murfreesboro.
As the Christmas season is approaching, there are many parties out there and last-minute gifts, and Demas's is here to be able to help you along with all those things. Hi, this is Peter Demas with Demas's Restaurants. One of the things that we have to offer is obviously our gift cards, and the gift cards come in any denomination. We have our seasonings that makes a perfect gift. We have Demas's classic t-shirts. Demas's also now has catering to be able to serve you and to be able to take care of you. Any of this information is available online, www.demasrestaurants.com.
We'll see mostly sunny skies here this afternoon with a high in the mid-50s. Southeast winds of 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tonight's slight chance for rain showers, a low near 38. I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki on News Radio WGNS. Currently, it's 28.
Thank you, Jennifer. What about the Murfreesboro weather? It was brought to you by First National Bank of Murfreesboro.
Experience real hometown banking. I'm Shelley Rigsby, manager of First National Bank of Murfreesboro. We've made banking easy for you with our great customer experience, and you will also have 24/7 access with our online and mobile banking. So whether you want the in-person experience or banking on the go, come see us at the Bank Murfreesboro Calls First. First National Bank of Murfreesboro, Mercury Boulevard, member FDIC.
WGNS talks about all things local. It's Rutherford Issues with Brian Barrett. Weekday mornings at 10 on WGNS, AM, FM, and online.
Run, run, Rudolph, cause I'm reeling like a merry-go-round. Said Santa to a boy child, what have you been longing for? All I want for Christmas is a rock and roll electric guitar.
I want to say good morning and happy birthday to Julie Corcoran. Julie is our winner of the goodies, her choice of goodies from Simply Pure Sweets Bakery and Cafe. You know, they are now in their new location. They're open up on the square, east side of the square, at 128 North Church Street. That's Simply Pure Sweets Bakery and Cafe, and the cafe is open for breakfast and lunch. Our good neighbor of the day today is Peggy Harris. Peggy's the person who nominated her, said Peggy is a happy soul who is a talented musician and always helping and encouraging others. Peggy Harris receives flowers from Jenny Harrison and the family at Ryan Flowers Coffee and Gifts. Peggy Harrison, our good neighbor today. Well, our phone number, 615-893-1450. 615-893-1450. Carol Reese and Jennifer Salter are with us this morning. We do take questions. You can call them in or you can text them in. And here is a texted question. This person says, this is my first Christmas cactus, and I'm beginning to think it's not going to bloom. Is there a tip to make it bloom, the Christmas cactus?
I think the first thing is to make sure it is a Christmas cactus, because we also have Thanksgiving cactus and Easter cactus.
Okay.
Well, we call them that because they bloom at those times.
You can tell by the shape of the leaf. Mm-hmm. If you look it up online, you can tell. Uh-huh. But each one has a different little shape.
Right.
It's very similar, but slightly different.
So someone may have accidentally given her a Thanksgiving cactus or a something else.
Yes, yes.
So the Christmas cactus only blooms at the Christmas season?
Mm-hmm. Yes. And Then other than that, just make sure it's getting the requirements, adequate moisture, not overwatering, bright
light.
Sunlight.
Keep it out of drafts.
Okay. No drafts, sunlight.
No, the drafts.
It's a pretty resistant mm-hmm. plant. You can tell when it's low on water, the leaves kind of tend to shrink a little bit. Mm-hmm. They get a little wrinkly, kind of like me.
I'm not going to touch that one with a 10-foot pole. Okay. Now, here's a really inventive person. This one says, what can you do now about weeds in your garden? That's the last
you
thing
can
I
dig them. You can dig them.
It's a good time.
You can't, really? You can't poison them because, I mean, you can't use any kind of herbicide because in order for an herbicide to work, the plant that you hit with it has to be actively growing. So if you just throw herbicide on top of a plant that's not doing anything, you've achieved nothing.
It's not absorbing in.
Yeah. You can weed
yeah,
them.
I mean, do.
Fire weed. You can flame weed them. Have you ever flame weed?
I don't even know what you're
talking about. It's a very empowering form of weeding. You have a big wand
with torch
a flame.
Or
it's a torch. Yeah. It's a giant torch.
And just be very careful.
Yeah. And the weed doesn't really have to be growing. You're still storing some carbohydrate below the soil level, so you're not getting to the root.
Where would you get that? You don't.
Oh, you can get
that.
It at any.
Do you
can
rent
get it?
It
online. You can get it at.
I mean, can you rent those? A torch?
I don't know if you'd want to rent it. It's so much fun. You really want to own one.
Learning the other side.
Yeah.
So you get a kick out of that.
I do. Okay. But the most effective way at this point in time would be to dig them up. Now, mm-hmm. keep in mind, there are thousands, maybe millions of weed seeds in every inch of the mm-hmm. top surface of your soil. So if you turn those seeds over into the soil and incorporate them a little deeper, you have effectively planted them. So you might want to wait till weed it, you know.
Okay. Here's another text question. This person said, I think I left my leaves on the yard a little too long. I've gotten rid of the leaves, but I notice I don't have any grass at all. What do I do?
I think you've got to wait now. There's not much you can do. I have that problem. I've been leaving mine on the grass. Haven't had time to mow it, to rake them up or mow them in.
Mm-hmm.
But the grass will come back, or you can reseed.
So it might, it might come back then.
Yeah, okay. It depends on what kind of grass you have, but you can just reseed or...
Well, if you have bare mud, you'll have to reseed whenever you can. But the best time to seed tall fescue, which is what typically people have in their yards, is in September, October, and December.
Think of it as you've just fed your lawn. the leaves have biodegraded, and so you've put some good stuff in there.
Now, you don't have to rake. You could mulch them and have a mulching mower.
Right.
And just throw them back into the soil. As long as they're getting light, your lawn will be okay. But if you've got a bunch of matted leaves on top, then you're in trouble.
So if you notice the grass is not there or doesn't appear to be there, once you get the leaves off...
I'd wait till spring.
Wait and see. Yeah.
And then I would put some seed down. You might want to put seed that's got the paper to cover it. A lot of times when you put seed down, you're putting out bird food. But cover it with something and baby it to get some grass back. And then in September, October, November, December,
overseed.
Reseed.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Should we be doing anything with our state flower right now, the iris? Should we be doing anything to just leave it alone or?
If it's not blooming, it's probably too crowded and have exhausted the supply of nutrients in the soil where it's at immediately. Iris grows so well here. I've seen iris growing on top of other iris.
Which is why it's a state flower.
Yes. Yes. And I've never seen iris grow anywhere like they grow here. There's something about the soil that's just magnificent.
Oh, they're beautiful, too.
Oh,
they're gorgeous.
Exquisite. Even the most common iris in this area is a treasure. And the smell, a lot of the irises have a nice scent that you would never notice unless you get...
I'm not sure I've noticed that.
You either have a whole bunch, you know, you get right down in it. But if they're crowded and they've stopped blooming, then by all means separate them. I don't know that I would do that right now, but you could. You could.
Now, when we say separate them, what are you doing? There may be somebody who's never had iris before.
There's different kinds of iris. You probably want to look them up. Typically what does the best around here is the rhizomatous.
Mm-hmm.
Iris. That's a fleshy material, kind of looks like a flat potato with greenery coming up.
And underneath the fleshy material, there's tendrils, like it's a little sea urchin or a little man-o-war, Portuguese, you know, it's a little one of those. And those are the roots. The rhizomatous material on the top is a storage mechanism. That's where all the nutrients that the plant has stored exist. So, and the greenery coming off the top, they sends out two new ones every year. So you want to dig that up and plant that rhizomatous material just below the surface of the soil. That's not the root. Don't plant it real deep. If you can't get the iris to stand up by itself, then peg it with something. Use a stick or a giant staple and peg it so that it's the roots stay down in the soil. But the roots are visibly roots, and they're underneath the rhizome.
Okay.
And there's other irises, too, which also do well. There are Siberian iris, and there are Dutch iris, and there are Louisiana iris.
And they all grow in Tennessee?
You'd have to baby them. You'd have to give them different conditions, each one. But I imagine each one would grow well here.
Okay. If you have a lawn or garden question this morning, the number to call, 615-893-1450. Here's a person who said, I've gotten interested in African violets. Is that a good thing to do during the winter time? I understand that most of these can be grown all year round in the house.
They can if treated nicely.
Speak to this, it nicely.
I'm proud to say that this is the first year I have not killed my African violets.
Okay.
I have three of them. They are flowering. I have never had that before, and I've just listened to what people told me. I've made sure the soil is moist. I put it in a sunny window. It doesn't get too much. It doesn't get the evening sun. It gets the morning sun, and it seems to love it there. And mine are flowering away, and the one that's not is looking nice and green and healthy. So,
well, what do you use to make them grow? Do you put them in the sunlight? Do you put them in lights?
I just put them in that window. It gets the morning sun, and I keep that soil not wet but moist. And I don't water the leaves. I water it from the bottom.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
There is a special pot that you can buy where you put your violet into this pot and you water it from the side, and so it sits in this little. It's like a cup, and you water it from the bottom. The water comes in from the bottom, so you're not touching the leaves.
Now, the person who sent us the text has sent us another one, and they said that they thought that they had been used. It was the right thing to use fluorescent light on them.
I don't use any, and mine doesn't get that much light. It just gets some in the morning.
So have you heard people using fluorescent lights?
No. I've used fluorescent lights. Mm-hmm. For seedlings primarily, but yeah, you can use fluorescent lights if you're lacking light any other way. The best way is the sunlight, but if you're lacking light, by all means use a fluorescent light.
How many hours of light are we talking about?
For African violet,
mine gets direct sunlight, maybe an hour or two in the morning, and then it gets filtered. It doesn't get a lot, no.
Okay.
So full sunlight in any plant is 6 to 8 hours or more.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Our phone number, 615-893-1450. We're talking lawns and gardens. And it's interesting that you can do a lot of things in your yard this time of the year.
Or you can focus on your houseplants. There's a whole list of houseplants you can play with. Cyclamen, calancho, poinsettia, paperwhites, amaryllis, the Christmas cactus, rosemary topiaries.
Now, what are the... I'm not familiar with those.
Topiary is anything you cut into a certain shape, a ball on a stick. That's a topiary.
All right. Okay. the big ones at the park.
Yes.
The giant ones.
Yeah, but you don't have to lack color outside. You can choose plants that have interesting stems. Witch hazel is a lovely plant in the early winter here. Mm-hmm. I go through my pots that I've had annuals, and I look for evergreens. I have lots of evergreens in my yard, and I'll take clippings and I'll stick them on those pots. Plants that have berries. There are lots of berries around right now. And so you get the color in the pots, or you get the color outside, something of interest.
There's still plants you can grow to eat. Microgreens, where you take the little lentils or beans and sprout them under your sink. They don't need sunlight. And then you can eat them. They're part of your salad. You can still have kale. We're getting kind of cold, but cabbage put a layer of straw on your cabbage. You can still harvest cabbage and carrots. Right. Yes.
Yeah. My Swiss shod was good up until a couple of days ago.
Yeah. And the cabbage and kale, are they grown? This is a strange question. Are they grown under the ground? Do you dig them out, or are they on top of the ground?
On top.
Okay.
But you can put a cover over them, like a layer of straw, just laying on top of them.
And then all those, the glass that you put over, a framework. What
Hall
is that?
Frame?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Are those good to use this time of year?
Sure.
Just remember to remove it if you have a warm day.
Okay. Because you can actually burn things?
I've destroyed most of my succulents one year doing that. Opening that and letting the fresh air in, and they're pretty much boiled. So don't boil your plants.
So the thing to do is to leave them on some way to open them up.
Mm-hmm. To let the air flow in, to cool them down.
Okay. Yeah. Good things to remember there. We're talking about lawns and gardens and things that you can be doing to make your yard just perfect. What about soil test? Is it a good time for
that? It's a good time. Mm-hmm. And it's a good time to lime. It's a good time to lime your soil because lime takes time to work its way into the soil.
Uh-huh.
So if you lime now, by the time you plant, you should be a little further along, a little bit more ready. But if you would like to do a soil test, all you have to do is take the organic matter off the top of the soil area that you want to cultivate. You take a couple shovelfuls from different locations, put it in a bucket, carry it down to the ag center, and they will send it off for you. You'll get it back in a timely manner because there's not a lot of soil testing going on. And they'll tell you what you tell them what you want to plant. They'll tell you what you need to do. It's $15. Easy as pie.
And it gives you a complete schedule of what you need to do when you need to do it.
Yeah, the ag center is the best. They are the best. Yeah.
You mentioned it's a good time of the year to lime. Is lime good? Do we need to put lime in the ground?
You need to get a soil test.
Yeah.
And they'll tell you if you need to lime.
Okay, so you don't always...
You don't want to be putting lime if you don't need it.
Yeah.
So
if you're planting blueberries, it'd probably not be a good idea.
All right. But keep in mind things that you need to be doing, and don't let somebody talk you into doing something you don't need to do.
No, and you don't have to do a soil test every year.
Well, how often should you do that?
Every three? I'm not sure. I don't want to give out misinformation.
Okay, so but not on a regular basis there.
Yeah, not
unless
more
you're doing something different.
Yes.
Or, you know, changing your garden around and you...
Mm-hmm. Our phone number is 615-893-1450. We're going to pause for just a moment, and we'll be right back. Stay with us. We're talking this morning with Carol Reese and Jennifer Salter, both master gardeners. And when we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about what do you do if you are a master gardener? What is it like? A day in the life of a master gardener. Yay! We'll be right back.
Turn your fingers into a microphone and talk back. WGNSradio.com is Rutherford County's online source for what matters to you. WGNSradio.com.
Hearing Aid and Audiology Services with Dr. Sean Lancaster.
We sincerely care about your hearing needs. Anyone who hasn't been by to see us, come by and try the new products.
Dr. Sean Lancaster.
Hearing devices that, in my opinion, kind of do it all. Even people who have worn hearing aids before are reporting that they're hearing better in noisy situations.
Dr. Sean Lancaster.
With Hearing Aid and Audiology Services, 608 East Clark Boulevard.
Make sure you have enough batteries to power your gadgets and gifts. This is Rich Schmidt with more savings from Haines True Value Hardware. Right now, Haines True Value Hardware has ever-ready alkaline or lithium batteries on sale. Choose 24 packs of AA or AAA Energizer Max Alkaline batteries for just $16.99 a pack. Or pick up a 12-pack of AA or AAA Energizer lithium batteries, also at the low price of $16.99 a pack. Power up with these great bargains of the month while supplies last at Haines True Value Hardware. 1807 Memorial Boulevard.
Hey there, I'm Courtney Brown, the great-granddaughter of Roscoe Brown. Once when I was little, a neighbor of mine was ill, and I picked the buttercups from behind our house and walked them across the street, and I was so happy to see the smile on her face.
This neighborly concern has been the hallmark of Roscoe Brown for 75 years. You can always trust our family with yours, offering plumbing, heating and air, and more.
RoscoeBrown.com.
Are we actually going to use this?
We'll see mostly sunny skies here this afternoon with a high in the mid-50s, southeast winds of 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tonight's slight chance for rain showers, a low near 38. I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki on News Radio WGNS. Currently, it's 28.
This is Jeff Graham with Tire World. I want to invite you to visit our new off-road department at our Memorial Boulevard location, featuring lift kits, leveling kits, light bars, as well as wheel and tire packages. Just come by and ask for Gator for all your off-road needs. That's Tire World on Memorial Boulevard.
This is Chip Walters, and you're listening to Rutherford County's Blue Raider Station.
Yeah, we got them.
MTSU Sports on WGNS, AM, FM, online.
Hey, welcome back. We are having a party up here. Christmas is just around the corner, and we're talking with Carol Reese and Jennifer Salter, both master gardeners. Don't want to forget to tell you about the 4-H pancake breakfast coming up this weekend and Marketplace. What time will that be?
I'm not sure what time it starts. I think at 8.
I'm not sure either, but it's at the community center on John Rice Boulevard. Same Santa floor? Will be there.
Oh, cool. Yep. Yeah, that's where the farmer's market is.
Where the farmer's market is, yeah. Okay. So it's a 4-H pancake breakfast and Marketplace.
Alrighty. Good morning. You're on WGNS. How are you today?
Good morning, Bart. This is Marty from downtown beautiful Smyrna. Hey.
Good morning, Marty.
You asked about cabbage. Did it grow under the dirt or above the dirt?
Right.
It grows above.
Above. Okay. Very good.
Yep. And cabbage is a wonderful meal, but it sure can stink your house up.
Yeah. I love cabbage.
I sure do enjoy your show. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. You have a great day. I tell you, can't beat cabbage. Yeah. Let's talk a little more about what is it like to become a master gardener? It takes you a full season to be a master gardener? Or
a full spring.
Full spring. Okay.
Yeah. Well, a full year. You do quite a bit of class.
Room activity 4 hours a week or so, and then you turn around. You have to complete 40 hours of volunteer work.
Mm-hmm.
For your first year.
Yeah, 40 hours of class time, and then 40 hours of volunteer work afterwards.
Now, do they come up with the volunteer hours, or do you have to the job?
We have lots of projects that they can work on.
If they have something magnificent, we'll mm-hmm. you know the extension agent will give the okay.
That's the way all the things that you've learned in the classroom start to come together when you're out there volunteering in the projects, in all of our different projects that we have. We don't leave we call them our interns, Master Garden interns. We don't leave them alone. We don't just throw them out there. Mm. We usually mentor them. We work with them. We volunteer with them. So they're never thrown to the wolves.
Yeah. So if you want to be a master gardener, mm-hmm. be thinking about that, but you need to not think too long because the option won't be available.
I would do it this week.
Yeah, because it's filling up very quickly.
It is this year, very quickly.
So sign up and say, I want to be a master gardener.
And 40 hours sounds like a lot, but a lot of our volunteers, our interns, earned a lot more than that this year. We have one who worked over 300 hours.
We're talking about per year, too. Right?
Per year, yeah.
Okay.
Well, our most hours were earned by one of our master gardeners. She had over 600 hours.
Wow.
So it's love. It's definitely a labor of love.
And so you can help groups that you're thinking about, or you can go wherever help is needed.
We have set projects that we work on.
Okay.
They're approved projects. We do have a little bit of leeway. I think it's like you can volunteer 5 hours with a project that's not one of our projects.
Mm-hmm.
But as I say, we have a lot of projects, I think it's about 17 at last count.
Are
so there's something for everyone.
Are many of them at the Lane Agri Park over on John R. Rice Boulevard?
That's a good place, mm-hmm. Yes.
Because there's some great displays there of how to do this type of garden and that type of garden and water features. And
during the farmer's market, we usually have someone there to explain what this plant is and what mm-hmm. it likes and what mm-hmm. that plant is and what it likes. We have an herb garden. We have a perennial garden. We have a pollinator garden. And we usually have someone there describing what's going on. We also have a vegetable garden that demonstrates the raised beds, the Hugel bed. It's an underground bed. We grow winter crops, spring crops, summer crops. And there's somebody there to describe what's going on. We also have a plot of blueberries that's not manned by us, but we still take care of a good bit of that stuff.
Mm-hmm. So all of that is just happening right about now.
We also tend the vineyard over there at the Ag Center, which a lot of people mm-hmm. don't see because it's at the other end of the property. And we have an orchard over there.
Now, are a lot of people getting into vineyards? Can you do it on a small scale?
Yes, sir. And you can start grapevines from cuttings from grapes in the spring that will grow like gangbusters. The species of grape that's growing over there is a Cynthiana Norton, and it was planted by MTSU as to see how they would do. MTSU put the plants in. They do maintenance. We do maintenance. And then we have a giant grape harvest where we, MTSU and the master gardeners, they bring in destemmers and juicers, and you come out, you harvest the grapes, they take it in, juice them, and you walk away with a gallon of juice, gallon of grape juice.
So that's open
good.
To the public.
Can you eat your way through the harvest?
If you don't tell anybody.
The birds try to.
So it sounds like a lot of fun.
It's a lot of fun, yeah.
Are grapes different tasting fresh from the vine?
Yes. Everything's different tasting fresh.
Is it sweeter? Or,
yes.
Oh,
it's a good grape, too. It's a multi-purpose grape. You could use it for wine. You could use it for juice. You could use it for jelly. You could use it for whatever.
And what is this one called again?
This one is a variation of the Norton. It's a Cynthiana Norton. Mm-hmm. Cynthiana /
And it's Norton. Doing well here.
Incredibly well.
So, but they probably had a clue that that would do well, or they wouldn't have put their efforts.
Well, they may have planted 50 different ones and just picked the one that did the best. I don't know.
I think we harvested a ton of grapes this year.
That's
cool.
At the harvest.
The Extension Service does that kind of research all the time, and I'm sure MTSU does the same thing.
I want to say a special thank you to Carol Reese and Jennifer Salter, both master gardeners, for joining us this morning. Y'all have a good day.
Thank you.
Stay with us. Truman's next on WGNS Murfreesboro.